This episode of the Beauty Industry Podcast was brought to you by Private Label Skincare, handcrafted natural skincare products for busy beauty entrepreneurs. Hello and welcome to the Beauty Industry Podcast, your online support community for the professional beauty industry. I am your host, founding director of Beauty Industry, Tamara Reid. Here, we are closing the competitive gap and speaking your language. This is a platform created and dedicated to the professional beauty industry, valuing community over competition. We serve to help connect you with inspiration from industry experts, expand your knowledge through educational pieces, and bring you the latest in product and technology innovation. This is Beauty Industry. Happy Easter, community. I hope you're spending the day and have spent the long weekend resting, practicing self-care, and of course, eating loads of chalky eggies. I asked a little while back in our Beauty Industry Facebook community what you guys wanted to hear on the podcast by way of lessons that will amplify your business practice, and so many of you mentioned that PR was something that you had always been interested to learn. Funnily enough, shortly after that, I ended up on a photo shoot with not just anyone in PR, but the founder of Brisbane's leading PR agency, and of course, I snapped her up to record an episode for you all. My guest today is Wendy Serrano of Milk PR, a boutique creative house with a knack for all things social media, PR, digital, and events, so you're in the right hands today. After doing some serious hustling and cutting her teeth for various fashion brands, Wendy Serrano quit her everyday 9-to-5 to take on her inner girl boss with the launch of Milk. Wendy is a strategic communicator, publicist, and extraordinary creative recognized for her experience, passion, reputation, and authenticity. With more than 6 years' experience in the industry, specializing in social media, digital marketing, events, and publicity, Wendy has worked with some of the country's most recognized brands in the fashion, food, and lifestyle space, including GHD, Sabo Skirt, Dish Boutiques, and Scotch and Soda, just to name a few. I couldn't think of a better time to bring this episode to your ears, considering now is the perfect time to be working on your business while you cannot work in it, and two, it's going to give you the tools and advice you need to create a kick-ass PR campaign to gain traction and exposure for your beauty business once the light of the end of the tunnel is clear to be seen. Here's Wendy and I for Beauty Industry. Wendy Serrano, welcome. Welcome to the Beauty Industry Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I am low-key nervous because this is probably one of my first ever podcasts.
Yeah.
So thank you for taking the time out to chat.
Thank you. Thanks so much for coming. And today we're recording from the beautiful Freedom Suites down here in Brisbane. So
stunning.
Yeah, I'm so excited that I could have you in person, which is even better than recording remotely.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so beautiful. If only you guys could see it. It's stunning. It's amazing.
So Wendy, we start our podcast the same way each week by finding out how our guests entered into the beauty industry. And so you're not specifically in the beauty industry, but we've got you on here today talking everything PR because it's such a massive topic of conversation that I know many beauty businesses are like, how do I do it? What is PR? I don't even know where to start. And so I want to know for you what your career was like and how you became the person you are today talking on the podcast.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so my story probably began like 7-8 years ago now. Far out. 8 years ago now. So I started my career working at Lorna Jane, which I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with. So working in their social media team, so running all of their social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, even Lorna's Instagram at one point.
Wow.
So that was a very long time ago when brands were sort of starting to build their social media presence and they realized we actually need, you know, people to actually do this. It's a huge driving force. It's a huge moneymaker for us. So I was there for about 2.5 years, grew all of the platforms, grew all of the channels. So I did study PR and journalism at uni, you know, on paper, that's kind of what I've done, but I fell into social media and digital, which I think is kind of a blessing. I've got the best of both worlds, which I think I'll talk about a little bit later, you know, how they kind of complement each other and how important that is now in the PR world. So I started off in social media, and then after Lorna Jane, I was there for about 2.5 years. I went to Dish Boutiques, which is another female women's brand. They're actually sister brand to City Beach. So there's about 12 stores in Queensland. They're huge online, fast fashion, e-commerce. I learned a little bit more about digital marketing, did a few more photo shoots, a little bit more branding, that kind of thing there. Again, it must be like a 2-year thing, because after that I kind of wanted to move on again. And then I wanted to go to the other side. And so I tried PR, and I went to a, you know, more traditional PR agency. So I had about 8 to 10 clients. I think the most I had at one time was 13. And now looking back, I'm like, whoa, I don't know how that's even possible. But a series of, you know, fashion, travel, there was a bit of beauty in there as well. So we worked with clients like Top Deck, Westfield, Black Milk, which was, you know, huge back in the day. So we worked with those kind of clients. I was there for about 8 months. That was probably the shortest stint. And then I just kind of had this moment where I was like, I want to do this by myself. There has to be a better way of doing this. I don't know. I just had this niggly gut feeling, and I went away. I came back and I just quit, bit the bullet, opened up my laptop one day and just kind of started. So that was in 2017. So Milk's been around for about 3 years now. We celebrated our third birthday in January this month, which is
happy
exciting.
Birthday.
Thank you. It's gone really quickly. And we work with clients across the board. So we work with FitAs FK. They're an online fitness program. Sabo Skirt, obviously they're a huge online fashion business. You know, we've worked with Scotch and Soda, Wallace Bishop. So we've had national clients on our books, and we still do. And obviously being based in Brisbane locally, lots of venues, hospitality, lots of property developers as well. So we're trying to really break into that space. A bit of beauty, working with influencers as well. So it's really kind of grown into this little creative house of itself. And yeah, I can only see it potentially, hopefully, grow even more. I love doing it every single day. I love meeting new people like yourself, you know, going to events and building relationships. So that's me to a T, I guess.
Amazing.
Right now.
Yeah. Congratulations. I mean, having a business that is only 3 years old, when you think about it, it's such a tiny business, but I mean, like Scotch and Soda, Lorna Jane, like all of these businesses are national, you know, they're massive brands. So well done.
Thank you. Thanks.
And so obviously all of these brands have you on their side for PR, and our beauty business owners want to get there. You know, they want to one day be that elevated business. But can you break down for us, what is PR? Because I think, you know, as you said, there's a little bit of social media, there's a little bit of marketing, but it's not only that. Like, what actually, what do you do?
What do I do every day?
Yeah.
Oh God, I ask myself. No, I'm kidding. So I guess PR has definitely evolved and changed from, you know, when I went to uni and I learnt about it, and it's so different actually being in the thick of it and doing it yourself. There is this a little bit of a taboo that, you know, PR is dead. Don't even bother.
Yes.
You know, it's traditional print. Print's dying. There's no point. But I purely believe PR has evolved and it's so different now. So it's, you know, almost essentially, it has to be part of an integrated strategy. So it's all a one-stop shop. So it's, you know, PR, which is obviously publicity, you know, a bit of social media, a bit of marketing, events, activations, they all kind of tie in together.
Yes.
So it's no longer just a traditional press release anymore. It's, you know, okay, how can we be creative? How can we generate some noise? How can we generate some leads? How can we generate more click-throughs rather than just, oh, you know, in 3 months' time, your product will be in a magazine. Do you know what I mean? And not actually being able to measure that. There are so many other ways that you can actually do that through PR, but it's just in a different kind of way. And I think that's a testament to Milk and, you know, to us, and why we do get to work with such big clients like that, because we do like to be on the front foot and we do like to think a little bit differently rather than let's just slap a press release in front of a journalist's face and hope for the best. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is a lot of relationship building as well, you know, networking. I wish it was just long lunches and champagne and all of that, but it's a long-term kind of game, I guess, but you can see some instant rewards through different strategies and through different kind of tactics, I guess.
Yeah. So traditionally, like 80s, 90s PR was basically just putting out a press release and saying, you know, this is Beauté Industry, we're launched, we're doing really great things, and then hoping that somebody in the media would pick it up, find it interesting, and then maybe write a story on it.
Correct.
But nowadays we're seeing like Uber have like free puppy day and like delivering puppies out. And so it's completely different to what it used to be. And it is about being innovative and getting the consumer to understand your brand and capturing that in a really creative way, right?
100%. I mean, the press release isn't dead. Like, it's still just as important. I think you should have that, have all of your information in one-stop shop, but it's thinking outside the box. It's being a little bit different, you know, say potentially as a beauty owner, you know, you might have a salon, or, you know, you're offering a service. You need to get these people to come in and actually experience your service. Otherwise, they're not going to write about it.
Yes.
I say that to all of my hospitality, you know, travel, experience-based clients. You need to invite them in, give them the full shebang, and let them do the talking. So at the end of the day, you want to win them over, who then will win the audience over.
Yeah, okay. And so, question for you, should every business owner have a strategy for PR? And then where do they even start if they want to do that?
Okay, so my biggest tip would be maybe, you know, sort of sort everything out in-house first. Cross your T's, dot your I's, get everything sorted. We've launched venues that, you know, have been open for 6 months, and it's all of a sudden, hey, this new venue's here, but really they've been operating for 6 months. You know, make sure that everything runs smoothly, sort everything out, you know, out internally before going out externally. So start from the inside out. You know, making sure your social media presence is active, it's up and running, it's looking really good, because the first thing someone's going to do when they see, you know, your name pop up in an article or, you know, link and click through is your social media. And if, you know, it's not really up to scratch, it doesn't really align. You know, making sure you've got imagery as well, because, you know, that's the first thing a journalist is going to want to ask. Do you have any images, or, you know, so they can publish that in their publication. So just sorting everything out internally first, getting your messages, you know, your key messages down pat, getting your branding down pat. How do you want to position yourself in the market before we go out and pitch it ourselves? You know, we kind of need to experience it, you know, in a way ourselves as well. And we only work with clients that we're really passionate about, because if we can't pitch it, then no one's really going to pick it up. Yeah, exactly. So I think it's definitely important, but it's part of a bigger picture sort of, you know, strategy, I guess. It all kind of needs to tie in together and work together and complement each other, so that when someone clicks through that article, they can see your website, they can see your social media, they can see, you know, your Google reviews, they can see your Facebook, and everything's in line.
Yeah, otherwise you guys are going out as the PR company and saying, hey, this company is amazing and you should go there and have a treatment, or you should go there and buy the product, and then the client clicks through the Instagram and sees a post from 2018 and is like, hang on, what's going on? Or then they get into the space and they're like, well, actually, this wasn't what their website looked like, and now I'm feeling let down. Yeah. So it really is, the beauty business owner has to start with their values, their mission, their vision, getting the branding, getting their systems and their therapist to be cohesive and consistent
100%.
Before coming to you guys.
100%. And I think it's also finding, you know, I said this before, like that point of difference. If, you know, say, for example, the beauty, you know, salon owner, you know, had some sort of quirky backstory, or, you know, was in a previous industry before and all of a sudden is, you know, killing it in this game, or, you know, it's just finding those angles and potentially putting yourself out there and putting yourself forward and not being shy of that. Journalists and the media love it when there's a face and when there's someone that correlates with that brand. So I think if you're open to that, you know, there's a way to do it. It doesn't have to be wanky. It doesn't have to be showy. You know, it can be done in a very tasteful, professional way. But, you know, if you're willing to do that, then definitely I would truly, truly recommend that also.
So almost having your brand as the face or your story behind the business 100%. Brand.
Yeah. And then that kind of ties back into your personal branding and your personal profiling also. What does your social media look like? What does your Instagram look like? What does your LinkedIn look like? You know, how do you position yourself in the market? Because they're going to look at everything.
Wow. Okay. And we always know that products don't sell products. People sell products, right? So if there's a backstory or emotional link that somebody can go, actually, I was there, or I can resonate with that, then that's going to make it easier, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Interesting. And so what types of media should a typical beauty business owner or just business brand what should they try to get exposure across? Like, how do they even do that? I mean, we see magazines, we see people on podcasts, we see, you know, experts on A Current Affair talking about skin. Not that you really want to be on A Current Affair. Let's choose a better program.
No, but, I know what you mean.
But how do you become that expert, you know, in a space?
Yeah. I think we are so lucky now that we, you know, live in this digital age that everything is literally in our pocket or on our screens, and everyone's got access to that. I mean, we're sitting in a room now podcasting together, and you've been able to set this up, you know, all on your own. You've got the ability to do that and put that out there. So, you know, as a beauty owner or, you know, a beauty expert, showing off that content, do tutorials, do Instagram, you know, IGTVs, write your own blogs, or I would probably go more down the video road. You know, video at the moment is, you know, everything. Back in the day it was blogging, you know, and then it was Instagram, so lots of images, and now it's everyone's a content creator. You know, YouTube is huge, obviously, and TikTok, like, you know, I'm still trying to figure out
so many platforms,
but I think it's not putting all of your eggs in one basket. A lot of people get carried away with just Instagram. You know, it's positioning yourself on different channels and talking to those different audiences. So I think, you know, if you want to be, you know, seen as an expert, which, you know, you are, put your content out there. You know, we've got the ability to reach the masses, to reach audiences that we never have before. Yeah. You know, back in the day, you used to have to pay for an ad in the newspaper or pay for an ad, you know, on TV. Now it's literally in your pocket, and there are so many apps and there are so many platforms that you can use to, you know, help amplify that and create that. So, you know, I think putting yourself out there, and that goes back to your personal profiling and, you know, trying to find your key message and treat it as your business. It's your brand, it's your name.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you'll see opportunities, you know, start to kind of come through and flourish. I've got a friend, she's actually a stylist, and she started off just styling at Westfield, and now she's doing, you know, video content on her Instagram. Right. She's uploading them as IGTV, and she was telling me the other day that all these other brands and all these other centers have reached out to her, and, you know, she's doing lots of MC work and, you know, hosting events, and she's treating, and it, this is all on her personal Instagram. She's treating it as a business to her rather than, she's got two kids and a husband and everything. She's like, yeah, I'm slowly, you know, kind of removing myself, moving away from that and doing more, this is my business, this is my name, this is my brand out there.
Yeah. And I guess from the beauty industry, sometimes we get a bit pissy at influencers because, you know, they're talking.
It's a mutual feeling.
Yeah. I mean, they're talking about skincare and ingredients. And if I hear hyaluronic acid on Instagram one more time, I'm going to go insane, right?
Yeah.
But it's only our fault as therapists that influencers who don't have a beauty background are talking about that because we're not, right? And so that's what you're saying. Like, those influencers, they're doing a great job at being influential. They're doing a great job at marketing themselves because they are creating all of the photos that we see and the flat layers and the video content. Mm. Like, if we as therapists and beauty business owners started doing that, well, then we would be more influential in this space.
100%. It's letting the consumer and letting your audience into your world. It sounds so easy and it sounds so simple, but it's just showing them. It's very, I don't know if you've read the book 1984, I'm just going a bit off on 1984, but it's very, you know, everyone's, you know, got their phones and everyone's letting each other into their lives. And that's just the way that it is. And I think there's a tasteful and there's a nice way to do it, you know, rather than the other side of, you know, Instagram.
Yes.
So.
And I guess, like, we've got all of this content, you know. We literally talk about skin and cellular turnover and ingredients and treatments all day, every day. Mm. If we just spent like an hour or 2 hours, maybe even writing down like the top 10 questions that our clients ask, because I'm sure every therapist gets asked the same questions all the time, and then creating content out of that, doing videos, bits and pieces, like that would help elevate their brand, right?
Exactly. Even, you know, a big thing with PR is relevancy. So, you know, right now it's summer, it's really hot, your skin's obviously... we're probably about to change, you know, going into autumn. Okay, what should I be looking at, you know, putting on my skin going into the cooler season? Doesn't feel like that right now, but, you know, starting to think about that. Not right now. You know, Valentine's Day. Okay, how can I get my skin prepped for Valentine's Day? So just being relevant and catching on to those things that everyone's kind of talking about. And you don't have to reinvent the wheel, because the same things happen every single year. Do you know what I mean? In context. But just, you know, changing it and adjusting it to your audience, and just, you know, or if there's something that's super on trend at the moment, like I know brow laminating is such a big thing at the moment. So, you know, showing off that service or how it's actually done or what it actually does, or, you know, before and after results. You know, what's another example? Like different types of, you know, there's so many different facials. I don't even know. I've never had a facial in my life. So I don't even know like
Naughty.
When. I know. But I don't even know where to begin. Like what would I,
do?
So I don't know if there was someone that could just explain that.
Facial for beginners.
That. Yeah, literally.
Yes.
You know,
so. Amazing.
That, you know, being relevant and trying to put yourself in your consumers' shoes, because like you said, you know what they're asking every single day, and you know what they would be interested in.
And then I guess just making it searchable. So for you, if you're trying to find, okay, maybe I do want to invest and have a facial, like what are you then going to type into Google? And then making, if you're going to do a blog or a video or whatever that looks like, making that the head title, you know.
Brisbane so, facials or, you know, oily skin. I don't know, whatever it is. Just, keeping that in the back.
Okay.
Of your mind.
Good idea.
And I know that's more social media focused, but it's still, you know, a side of PR, because then you can repurpose that content and you can push that out there, or you can, you know, someone can look at that and potentially collaborate with you. Oh, hey, I saw you did this video. Can you create it for me in this way? Or do you know what I mean? So
yeah, absolutely. And then get a little feature in Sunday Body and Soul.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Okay. After the break, Wendy shares with us her secrets to getting your products in the hands of the right people, the magic to unboxing, and also some house rules around what you can ask of influencers that you're working with. But first, a word from today's beauty partner. Friend and feature of the podcast, Karina Khan of Private Label Skincare, is currently helping aspiring beauty entrepreneurs start their own professional, natural, and vegan skincare range for only $500. Yes, that's right. For this small investment, you'll get everything you need for your very own skincare brand to get off the ground with products that are ready to sell in just 2 weeks. Included in this incredible deal are 30 retail size products that have been formulated and tested by Karina, the founder and qualified cosmetic chemist behind Private Label Skincare, 2 online courses that have been written specifically to support skincare business owners, label templates and printing, a training manual, and free postage and handling within Australia. There's never been a better time to make use of your downtime, get creative, and start building the business and brand that you have always dreamed of. This offer will only run until Tuesday, 29th of April, 2020. So if you're looking for an affordable, quick, and easy way to start your own skincare range, then you best not miss out. Visit www.privatelabelskincare.com.au for more information. And now back to Wendy. And so we have a few people who listen who have product ranges. Mm-hmm. What can they do to get their product in the right hands? Like, again, we see influencers, we see, you know, a product in Vogue or Marie Claire or whatever. How do they make that happen?
Yeah. So from a media point of view, it's definitely finding a way getting that in front of their desks and getting that in front of their hands. So we do a lot of media kits, or press kits, I guess you could say.
Yes.
And we try to come up with different, you know, cute, quirky ways to create some attention, create some noise, because there's like a two-prong approach to it. You know, you deliver it, you send it to the editor, they Instagram it if it's Insta-worthy. So number one, you get a social media mention there. And then number two, they try the product and then, you know, potentially end up writing about it. So for example, for one of our hospitality clients, I'll just use them as an example. They're called Yolk. So everything's based around the chicken and the egg. It's really cute. So the branding's really fun. So we created these big bright yellow balloons and we filled them with feathers, white and yellow feathers. So it's like chicken feathers, and inside was an invite to the event, to the launch. And then we just dropped them all off to all different media and everyone Instagrammed popping the balloon. It had a little sticker on it. It was like, pop me.
How cute.
Little cute chicken feet. And then it popped. The feathers went everywhere. The invite was there. So that was a social media kind of piece. And then, you know, they ended up writing about it. So coming up with some sort of creative way to get it in front of the editors and the media, and, you know, doing your research and finding who that person is. You know, I probably wouldn't go straight to the editor. There's always beauty editors, or, you know, even you know, I'm just trying to think of the example for, obviously you got stylists, but like, what's a beauty, like a beauty expert, or
beauty therapist,
or would be the same.
Yeah,
it's just someone, you know, in that publication who, you know, like someone who's
like the editor, or
you know, trying to find that person, and it's so easy to find their details, to find their addresses. Yes. It's borderline
send
scary.
Send them something.
And send them something, or even drop them a message on Instagram and send them a message and, you know, create something. And that could be purely just your product or packaged, you know, beautifully or nicely, or, you know, you could collaborate with another brand, or you might have, you know, another service that you might offer, or something just to make it bigger and better.
And so because they get like editors, and even myself now, are so many packages, right? Like products coming every other day. And I'm so blessed that that happens.
That's amazing.
But if you can get something that really stands out, and the thing that always comes to my mind when I think of kind of press releases or packages is, do you remember when Kim Kardashian launched her, I don't know what it was, the fragrance, and it was in like the big candy heart, and it was like BFF and my bae or whatever she called it, and they had to
smash
hit it
cake.
With the hammer, in a smash cake, and I was like, I want one of those, you know, just for that pure excitement of opening it. And then because if it didn't happen, you know, if it wasn't on Instagram,
it
didn't
never
happen. So then
Correct.
You've got to film the unboxing and the opening. And it's kind of like, don't just make it another box, or, you know, make it something that is an experience and unboxing, something worthy to film.
On Instagram. And, you know, we're really good friends with the boys from High Smile. So obviously everyone knows High Smile, the teeth whitening. They launched a new toothpaste. It was like a pink toothpaste, smelled like bubblegum. It was amazing. So before it actually launched to the public, they did a huge media drop as well. And it was in this box, and it had all this fragile tape all over it. I think it was, or it said High Smile or something. So it was branding. So it kind of really stood out. And then it was in this clear Perspex box. And then the toothpaste was, you know, in its own Perspex box. So it just really kind of stood out. And they reached out far and wide to influencers, you know, friends of High Smile, so brands they've collaborated with before, media as well. And everyone was talking about it right before the product itself actually launched, which was, you know, say a week later. So they generated all of this hype and all of this noise on Instagram. And then I noticed, you know, about a month's time later, they used all of that content. They had saved it all and created their own advertising or their own, you know, I saw it on stories or something. I can't remember. So just trying to find, you know, that creative kind of way to stand out. So that's from like a media kind of point of view. From an influencer point of view, I think, so if you're a service, definitely go micro. So definitely reach out to those who, you know, they might only have 10,000, like between 10 to 30 to 50,000 tops
influencers
because their followers are most engaged with, you know, in Brisbane, or they're Brisbane based, or wherever it is you might be based.
Yep. So find somebody local rather than going for someone who has like a million followers, like a Steph Claire Smith or Kim Kardashian. Like if you're in Canberra, have a Canberra influencer.
Correct. And it, you know, if it's got nothing to do with, you know, with where you're based, then, you know, you won't see the return on that. So finding someone who is, you know, local, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's only going to cost you, you know, surely a little bit of product and some of your time, but I think the return on that is huge.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you, because this is the thing, like nobody really talks about what an influencer's rates are or what do you offer them. Can we give them a free treatment and then do they post? Do we need a contract? Like, are we giving them product and paying them? Like, where do we even start when we're finding, like, how do you even find the right person, you know?
Well, we're very lucky that we've been able to work with influencers over a period of time that we can kind of, you know, push a little bit more. You scratch my back, I scratch yours kind of thing. But, you know, as a, say, a potential salon owner, I think it's number one, going locally. Number two, making sure you don't have to have a contract or an agreement, just set some sort of guidelines, you know, some sort of, have it in an email or something. You can have an agreement if you like, but as you know, from experience, you know, 8 out of 10, they'll probably end up doing their own thing anyway.
Yes.
I think with influencers, it's not setting too many boundaries. It's letting them be creative in their own right, letting them show it off in their own way rather than, hey, I want you to do this, this, this. So the less you ask, the more you'll kind of receive.
Yeah.
Obviously, you don't want them to take the piss and you don't want them to, you know, then that's it. You know, you probably won't ever work with them, which is fine. It's a bit of trial and error. Everyone kind of goes through that.
So give them guidelines, but like loose guidelines.
In a way. I know it sounds very vague, but it's just...
No, it makes so much sense.
It's kind of just... If you just put a lot of pressure on them, then they'll probably turn around and ask, okay, well, I charge this much or, you know, and then they won't do it anyway. Yeah. I think do your research, you know, making sure they're not working with, I'm very big on loyalty and making sure they're not working with, you know, another competitor or someone that might, you know, it might be confusing because that's confusing for you and then that's confusing for their followers and their audience. One minute they're here, then they're over, you know, down to the other salon down the road, and that's just not a good look for them. It's just content. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think it's building that relationship with them as well. And I mean, if you do want to go after the bigger fish, you know, obviously the Steph Claire Smiths, that, you know, she travels, she comes up to Byron, she comes up to the Gold Coast. If you're based on the Gold Coast, reach out and just say, hey, I'm based on the Gold Coast if you ever need something up here. I know a lot of influencers personally who, you know, they travel to Sydney, you know, say from Brisbane to Sydney, and they want to get their makeup done, and so they try and find a makeup artist based there to collaborate with, or, you know, someone to do their hair or eyebrows or whatever it is. So just keeping an eye on that as well and being open to that too.
And so I guess some basic house rules that I've learned in, you know, just working with product brands and things like that is, like, ask the person to keep it on their feed, because I didn't even know that this was a thing. And then, you know, you take the photo and then you go, oh, actually, it doesn't look that good. Oh, yeah. I'm going to delete it a month later. And then it's like, no, we need the product to stay on your feed so that if people scroll back, they can still see it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, making sure that they tag the right person. Like, my girlfriend had a swimwear brand and she invested very heavily. It was like $600 or $700 for one photo on Instagram. And then this influencer took the photo and tagged the wrong brand.
Oh, no.
So I think, you know, sometimes if you don't know, you don't know.
Yeah.
But just tiny things like that. Like, she didn't make any sales out of that because by the time
she changed it, it was too late.
Too late.
It was old.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I think, just having a few things in mind, like risk management, what 100%. Could go wrong.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, taking that extra step further, I know codes aren't really a thing, offering, you know, 50% off your next service. I know lashes are very, a lot of lashes, you know, salons, they're very big on that. You know, seeing if that works, or if a potential influencer or someone, you know, who's got a solid network, seeing whether that works, or just going that little bit extra, you know, and above and beyond for them, and kind of giving something back you know, to them in a way.
So if I went into, if I was an influencer and I went into Wendy's Day Spa and then you said, well, put on your Instagram, mention Tamara or Beauté Industry and we'll give you 20% off your services or whatever. So then I guess that's a good way of measuring it, because too, if you don't put anything in there, you kind of feel like, okay, well, I've paid Tamara $500 to come in, have a treatment. She's gotten free product, but nothing came back, you know, but if you don't put a way to measure it, well, then you don't know who's coming in based off that influence.
Yeah, exactly. And I think also, you know, making the most of that experience with that influencer as well. So whether that's recording the content or, you know, taking some photos yourself or boomerangs or whatever it is, just so that you've got that on your end as well in case, you know, they don't ever post or you want to use it later down
good
the line.
Good idea. Now, I want to switch up the conversation for a little bit to events and launches that you mentioned before. We have a lot of product companies obviously launching. We have brand new clinics launching, you know, that they are new and that they're there or maybe elevating the space. What do you guys do at Milk and what can our business owners do to have a successful launch? Because sometimes business owners, you know, invest in all these balloons and platters and then nobody shows, you know, how can we do a great launch?
Yeah, definitely. Look, I think we try to make every single launch an event different. There's no cookie cutter approach. Sure, there are elements to it that, you know, we take from other events and we kind of filter them through to, you know, say if we're launching your salon, let's just use you as an example. You know, so I think we try and treat it as a completely different, you know, concept in itself. You know, there's nothing worse than seeing going to an event or being at an event and you know who's put that together, or it's the same crowd or it's the same people and you see the same thing over and over again. That's just regurgitating and that's just lazy. That's, there's no other way to describe it. Sorry, that sounds a bit harsh, but it's just the way it kind of is. I think styling definitely is important. So yes, balloons and platters and everything, but I think it's, you know, being solid on your guest list. So who it is that you want to come. Is it media? Is it family and friends? Is it influencers? A very big thing that we do is we invite local brands and local, you know, businesses that are within that kind of vicinity. So, you know, say for the gym, which is also, you know, like a service, you know, we invite friends of the gym, you know, a networking space, or, you know, there might be the local brewery down the road, or there might be a restaurant, you know, get them to come in because they're going to be your friends, I guess, at the end of the day. And they have customers coming through their door. So if they're talking about you, hey, go and see Tamara from up the road, she can do this, even better for you.
Great.
So being friends with, you know, everyone in the neighborhood.
And then getting them to put stuff in the goodie bags.
Exactly. So it's all happy family, big collaboration. You know, if you do a goodie bag, we try to come up with something a little bit different. Goodie bags are awesome, but I think they are kind of not getting a bit old, but I think it's just all
need
packaging
to reinvent the goodie bag.
Yeah, or packaging it up in a different way so that they do take something with them. You know, some sort of bounce back offer, getting them back through the door later down the line. And another big thing that we do is, just giving away all my secrets, but that's okay. No, I'm kidding. Social media, obviously, you know, a really kind of good hack, I guess, for you to grow your channel or your platform is, you know, hey, we've got two double passes to our VIP launch. Tag your friend and follow in this, you know, post.
Yeah, like competitions before like the launch.
Before the launch, exactly. So post that on social media. You generate new followers. You generate traffic to your page. They're potentially two new customers that you might never have had, and now they've walked through the door, they've fallen in love with the space, and they're going to come back and tell all of their friends. So I think it's giving back rather than just, you know, asking, you know, everyone to kind of come in. What can you
do? Come to our launch, come spend, come buy products.
Exactly.
Yeah,
what can you give, you know, to your potential customer at the end of the day? And I think it's also super important, and we keep this in mind also, you know, if there's like a, you know, someone with a solid network or someone who's of high, you know, high influence or who's sort of a heavy hitter in, you know, your neighborhood or your area, invite them along. They might have 300 followers on Instagram and might not even know how to upload a story, but they're going to tell all of their friends who,
yes,
you know, are potentially running in a similar circle. So it's just finding those people with solid networks. So I think there's kind of two ways to see it, you know, the ones you can measure through social media and through their followers and see what they post, and then the ones that, you know, they're the ones with the solid network that you kind of want to tap into at the end of the day, and who potentially have more money than, you know, the influencers who collaborate. And
yeah, absolutely. And I guess too, for a lot of beauty businesses, they can ask their reps or, you know, their products or whoever their account managers for items, you know. So you said giving back, like, can we have samples or luxury sizes or minis or trials? Can we get someone in doing like demos of skin needling or something like that? Yeah. Like making it activating, you
know, an actual experience. I was just gonna say that, actually getting them to come in. It's nothing worse than just going somewhere and then you're just all standing in a room and just talking to each other and making small chat and eating at the grazing table. You know, can you be involved in some way? Can you have some sort of experience? Going back to that, you need to experience it in order to write about it, in order to post about it, in order to talk about it. It needs to have that Insta-worthy element to it as well. You know, as extra as that might be, you know.
Donut board.
Yeah, donut board, or just something that's just, you know, someone's going to want to share with their friends. And get them to talk about after the event.
Yes. And so we're talking about all of these things that create traction and build presence for our business. What should we not do? Because I'm sure there's a lot of do not do this, but we don't know what that is until we get there, right?
Yes. It is a lot of trial and error, and it is a lot of, I think the biggest thing is from an influencer point of view. I think people get so caught up in someone who has 1.5 million followers. Okay, cool. I'm going to go straight to them. I'm going to blow all of my money on them. It's being a little bit more selective. And I know it sounds super exciting that, you know, I don't know. Yeah, someone like Steph Claire Smith came into my, which is amazing. She's awesome. She's great. But, you know, how can you make your money go even further? Or how can you reach more people by, you know, going, you know, more micro? So I think people get caught up a lot
with, in the numbers.
I think people also have this huge event, they have this huge launch, this huge big bang, and then it kind of just drops off. So how do you keep that momentum going? So finding ways, like I was saying, you know, whether it is that bounce back offer, getting people to come back in, or, you know, just being a little bit more active on social media. If someone uploads a photo of the event, making sure you are commenting and liking that photo, just to kind of constantly
keep the engagement going.
The engagement going, doing your follow-up. So from a PR media point of view, picking up that phone and speaking to that journalist, hey, you know, so great to see you at our event last week. You know, you do the hard work for them. I think from PR, it's coming up with the story idea. It's coming up with the angle. It's coming up with, okay, I think, like I was saying before, we're going into autumn, you know, these are the skin tricks to you know, make sure your skin's ready for the cooler season. Just doing the hard work for them, and they're like, oh yep, I love that idea, can we get something by Tamara on this?
So rather than, like, if I had Tamara's day spa and I was going to host a party tomorrow, I might word you up as a PR person to come in, but say to you, okay, well, this is our fifth year in business and we're having our fifth birthday. We used to be a home salon. We've now got three salons and blah, 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 and actually giving you the story.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Finding that angle. And I think with that, it's doing the research and, you know, seeing what that journalist or that editor has potentially written about before, or, you know, what their interests are. It's so easy now to jump on and see on Instagram what they're doing. It's scary, but it's so easy to do that. It's just taking that extra 5 minutes to do the research on that person so you can find that connection with them and do, that either that pre-phone call or that follow-up. I think that's so important, and I think it gets lost in so many ways.
And then that way I'm not just hoping that you pick up that it's our fifth birthday, that, you know, we used to be a home salon and now we've got a multi-site salon. Like,
exactly.
If I give you the story, I'm kind of guiding which way the story and the publicity is going to go.
Exactly. Right? That's the power of PR. Otherwise, you might as well just, you know, pay for an ad and then just hope people see it. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And so I want to ask you then, I love giving little tangible things that each business owner can do straight after they stop listening to us yammer on. Yeah. What are three things that every person should go do to strengthen their brand or their personal business brand to get better PR?
Number one, I think content, which I've been harping on about this entire time, creating your own content and finding what it is that you're good at, that you love talking about, that you love showing off. So putting that content out there and treating each channel differently. Doing your research. So researching who that editor is, who that journalist is, even stylists, like they're all, you know, very interested in, like my friend was talking about before, talks about beauty all the time. So finding those kind of people that have that network. So doing your research is really important. And I think another third one that's super simple, and I see it all the time because we do work in social media quite a bit as well, is your bio, your Instagram bio.
Right.
So just making that as searchable as possible, you know, using keywords in your heading and in your bio itself. So maybe just auditing that a little bit and having a look at that and seeing what you've actually got in there, just to help your algorithm.
That actually makes a lot of sense because I mystery shop around the country. So for example, just the other day I booked my flights to Adelaide for our South Australia brunch, and I thought, well, I might as well do a mystery shop when I'm over there. And the first place I went to was Instagram, and I typed in like Adelaide facial, Adelaide day spa, and hardly any of them came up. So if they went and literally just change it to like Adelaide's facialist or brows Adelaide or whatever, they would get more traction immediately.
Exactly. Even in your hashtags or geotags, I just think Instagram's so underutilized. It's a Google in its own right. Like I Instagram anything before I jump on the website because, you know, it's just what we do now. So it's just keeping that.
I do that as well. Like if I'm going to go out to brunch, I'm a very visual person. I want to see like
what you're having.
What the eggs on the avocado looks like.
Yeah.
Otherwise, no.
You're not going to order that. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, just think about your consumer. I guess everyone's at work or sitting at their desk. They're not going to have this big giant, you know, website opened up on their desktop. So how do you make it as, you know, mobile friendly as possible and Instagram friendly? Making sure you've got your contact us, or if there's some sort of booking system on there that's super easy that you can just click, rather than there's nothing worse when you pick it up and you're like, oh, I've got to go on my computer to do
it
because it's not working.
You're speaking my language. I say this all the time. I'm like, if you have an Instagram, make sure that link goes straight to your booking.
100%. 100%.
Amazing. Wendy, thank you so much for featuring today. It's been a pleasure to have you in the space here at Freedom Suites, and also, you know, to get all of your insight into PR. I'm going to jump off now and go and do all of the things so we can just get global domination.
Thank you so much for having me. And hopefully I get to chat to you soon.
Prior to meeting Wendy, I kind of thought PR was just paying someone to rave about your brand and get influencers for you to work with. But now I realize it's so much more than that. PR is now more clear to me than ever that it's more about the brand story, connecting with those who align with it, and sharing your wins, launches, campaigns, and events with the world to gain you further traction and brand exposure. As Wendy mentioned, there is so much that you guys can do yourself by way of generating PR, which you guys know I am a huge fan of, so there's been no better time to do so than right now. If you're feeling game over the coming week, why not write yourself a press release for some of the ways your business is pivoting during this time and send it to your local paper, perhaps contact some influential people and ask them to come into your space for a treatment when you reopen again, or even start to plan your reopening launch party. Wendy and I would love to see how and where you guys are listening along this long weekend, so take a little photo or video of yourself and your surrounds while listening to this episode playing in the background and tag at milkpr.aus, myself at Tamara Shaw Reed, and at Beauté Industry, and we will reshare your stories. Remember, social media and resharing gets your business in front of more eyes and ears too, so that's a little PR hack from myself. As always, your support means the absolute world to me, a little independent podcaster sitting in the mountains of Brizzy in my spare room. So when you guys do subscribe, leave me a rating or a podcast review, that tells me I'm not just sitting here speaking to myself every week on the mic. So I really, really appreciate it. I hope you guys have the most stunning long weekend and a beautiful rest of the week. Until next time, stay connected.